There's a lot of sustenance happening online from many, many souls across the Brahman family. So I'm happy to join you for this session. And it's a very beautiful question. How does one experience Baba's protection and what is all that about? Well, if I give you just a very simple fact that maybe Baba has a million souls who are now, I would say, regular VKs. I'm not counting people who come sometimes, but about a million who come regularly or now, of course, are online every morning. And out of this million, I can only think about maybe 4 or 5 cases where the virus has come to the individual. And in fact, they've been able to deal with it and they've come out the other side and are sharing their experience of how Baba helped them and how they feel well again. And so that's a big story for me. Now, it's not something that we're going to go to the press about, but it's telling me that Baba's protection is happening in a very practical, physical way even. And I think it's because we're following the Maryadas. And Baba's Maryadas, in particular, I'm thinking about how meditation increases immunity, because meditation allows hope to come. Meditation removes fear that we may have. And two things that really destroy our immunity are loss of hope and fear. And because meditation is supporting us and elevating us, so we're protected because our immunity is stronger than most. But also, of course, our diet, our sattvic diet, and even more than just sattvic in terms of making it plant-based and all of that, the fact that Brahmins cook their own food, offer it to God, so that it's filled with those beautiful vibrations. Now, that for me is, again, a very, very important ingredient in terms of health. And so I can see how Baba's protection is very much with us. And so it's a very practical thing. But think about all the other aspects that Baba talks about and how Baba is able to protect us through that also. People go through such upheaval and storms in terms of relationships. And Baba tells us, let there be pure vision for everyone, pure vision for yourself, pure vision for others. And that's going to ensure that everything stays as it should in a proper state of balance. People are very concerned about finances. And again, Baba's system, make everything simple. You don't need to go buy new shoes. You don't need to go buy new clothes. You don't need X, Y, Z. All the things that people say, I must have, I need. No. Our needs, yes, maybe we used to spend a lot of money on travel, but drama, and now we are learning that programs can happen in a beautiful way by cyberspace. You don't have to travel all the way to the other side of the planet to have a program, or even for sustenance, you can have sustenance across the world on cyberspace. So travel used to take a lot of our time and money, and so that's been reduced. And then further, anyway, our lifestyle is so simple. I remember one person telling me that his wife used to come to Madhavan every year, and he used to see how happy she was on her return. And then he came to Baba, and he used to smoke, but he gave up smoking very quickly. And after about a year, he said to me, I loved Madhavan. It was beautiful to go to Madhavan, especially to go with my wife. And she introduced me to all her friends in Abu. And the wife had come into Gyan like in the 70s, the late 70s, and he came to Gyan early 80s, and now he's passed away, but she's still around. And he said that she introduced me to everyone in Pandavava, and it was so beautiful. She has such a big family, and now I also have that big family. And then he said to me, do you know how I went to Madhuban? I said, tell me. And he said, I saved the money I used to spend on cigarettes, and that gave me my ticket to Madhuban. And so, you know, the simplicity of my lifestyle and Baba's power in freeing us from addictions and dependencies and all of these things is a huge protection for us. We don't crave for the things that people out there want. We don't feel unhappy if we don't have X, Y, Z. And Baba said something very beautiful a little while ago. Baba said, I guarantee that if you keep holding my hand of Srimad, you will always have enough to eat. You will have dal and roti, lentil soup and chapatis. You may not have three vegetables or four vegetables, but you will have the basic. And this I can guarantee. And so what more do I need? Sangam Yug, Baba, I have all of that, all the treasures that Baba can give me. The desire to own, to possess, to accumulate. We just don't have that. And so that liberates us from a lot of sorrow and a lot of tension and competition with my neighbor and everyone else. And so they know my lifestyle is simple. I'm not competing with them. At work, people that are my colleagues. Again, I do the work that I have to do. It's my job, and I'll do it well to the best of my awareness and talents and skills. But I'm not in competition with another. I'm not wanting their job. I'm not wanting their role or their position. And so the protection is from sorrow. Baba protects me from having any feeling, any experience of sorrow. And so I'm seeing that essentially, look at all the different aspects of Srimad, the external factors of Srimad, but also the more subtle inner aspects of Srimad. And you see that this canopy of protection is with me all the time. And yes, of course, I'm also aware that sometimes we let the hand of Srimad slip away, and maybe it's not in terms of anything external that we're doing anymore, but more subtle things, and maybe a little bit of criticism enters my mind. But I feel the impact of that instantly. It's not long distant in the future. I can feel that a critical thought is taking away my happiness. And so I learn from that, and I say, okay, enough is enough. I know what I need to do, no more criticism. And if I stay online in the way that Baba wants me to, in terms of the quality of my thinking, again, I feel that protection under which I feel safe and protected and happy. The sign of protection is that there's no fear and there's no desires. And there's no sorrow. I'd say that these are the main ingredients. And where even if a person does fall sick, then we have the example of our dadis. And they would say, the body is not well. I'm the soul. I'm fine. And they would comfort us. We didn't have to console them and comfort them. But they would say uplifting things to us that would really boost our energy. And of course, the doctors could never tell who was the patient, because the patient's face would be sparkling. And so they'd look around the room and say, why am I called here? Who's called me? Who needs me? Who's the patient? So these are some of the experiences of protection. And so, yes, if there are questions, then we can explore that and go further.
Yeah. One second, I'm in my phone. So, for those Brahmins who need to go out and work, what methods do you suggest specifically? You mentioned something about no competition at work, but those who are feel that there's a lot of violence around and there's a lot of risks, what would you suggest that they could enable them to experience protection? Many are working from home, but some do have to go.
Yeah,
and they are at a lot of risk.
I think you have to make sure that you follow all the systems that are in place, the face mask, the social distancing, and if you can go to work either by walking or by your own transport so that you're not exposed to so many other people in public transport, if at all possible. Try and look after all of those external things first. And then there's various ways, lots of different remedies, herbal remedies, home remedies for boosting immunity systems. So I would say, you know, whether it's turmeric and ginger and honey, all sorts of things. There's lots of recipes online nowadays to boost the immune system. So do all of that, gargle with hot water, all of these things. But the main thing is keep that canopy of protection above your head.
Ahora, and, so, bueno.
Okay.
Yes.
So keep yourself shielded through this canopy so that that canopy protects you and keeps you safe. And this is as you go to work, because that's the danger spot, then at work again, just follow that system of social distancing, etc., but also have this canopy, this invisible protection around you, and that will definitely keep you safe.
Thank you, Jenti. What we're seeing in this, I think we're in like in a second phase of this quarantine, and I think that we, in the first phase, we were kind of very all excited with our connectivity, and we were isolated but together, connected, helping each other, receiving a lot of sustenance, as you have mentioned. But I feel that now there's been like a turning point. We're turning into a different phase in which some souls are losing their jobs, some souls are going through financial crisis. So in what ways do you think that Baba can protect us, or souls can also protect themselves in the face of financial crisis?
It's a difficult situation for many, many people, I know. But I have that faith and trust that if I'm honest and I'm willing to do something, anything, there'll be enough for me to eat and take care of my family. So maybe I've lost my high-powered job, but that's okay. Let me find a job that's not so high-powered, that's more simple, but it's a job that's available for me. So let me take that on board and have that job. And the other thing is that, can I find the use of my creative skills? When there's adversity, sometimes we discover that we have skills that we hadn't thought about before. And so maybe I can get into some painting, maybe I can get into some writing, different skills that can bring me in a little bit of income. But the main thing is just keep your needs very simple. What is it that I actually need at this moment? Probably I don't need to go shopping except for basic food. And again, that too, just last year, that being a reminder that there should be the possibility of stocking up. And I know some people don't have space, some people don't have extra finance to be able to collect a stock together. But if you've been able to stock up, that's also fine. You can use the things that you have stocked up with. because this is a time of emergency, and so use that. That's absolutely fine. But I don't need to go buying anything extra at all. So just simply seeing what my basic needs are, and if that is covered, it's okay. Mm-hmm. And I think for most Brahmins, there should be enough just to be able to manage. This has been my experience during the last recession, 2008. So many people were hurt by that financially. And yet somehow Brahmins managed. They managed. They had enough to eat. They had the possibility of coming to Baba's house. In those days, there was no lockdown, and so people came to spend time in Baba's room. And in future, of course, again, Baba's house will be open, and you will be able to come and spend time there. So I think that just feeling very content with what I have and what Baba has already provided me with, that sense of gratitude instead of worry and fear and anxiety, what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. That worry and anxiety kills abundance. It kills hope within me. But having an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness opens up my heart, and it creates abundance. And so count your blessings and thank Baba for what you have already had from Baba.
Gentlemen, is there a way in which we experience Baba's protection through the Brahmin family, a way of cooperation amongst the Brahmins that you would like to share?
Definitely. You see, again, it's a question of what has been my track record so far. If I've been giving cooperation to others in the Brahmin family, when I'm in a situation of need, everybody's going to come forward to help me and support me. If I haven't given my cooperation and today I'm in need, well, Baba's not going to let me starve. There'll be somebody who's going to come forward and help me. But where really I've had a good relationship with the family, then the family is there to support me big time, more than I need probably. So that's, again, my own karma and what it is I have given to the family and the return I get from the family today. But also I've seen where maybe there are people who haven't done so much for the family, but now people see that there is a need, and they don't hold it against anybody, and they come forward and help. And maybe that is the way in which this soul learns that I have to value the Brahmin family. Because sometimes we don't value each other, but it's important to value ourselves, but also to value each other. Yeah.
Gentilbhai, when it comes to our own efforts, I see this second phase that I was mentioning as a phase of deep cleansing and healing. So a lot is like coming up in terms of undone homework or things coming up that could create some kind of hopelessness, because maybe I haven't been obedient in the past or haven't fulfilled Baba's hopes or Srimad. So What can we do not to fall into our like self-deception that would bring me down or would discourage me from moving forward? Like when many different types of emotions come up.
When you use this word cleansing, it's absolutely accurate. And I want to look at this in two different ways. Firstly, this way in which I've been seeing how, where there are things within the self that I haven't yet dealt with, those are the things that are exploding. Maybe anger, maybe greed, maybe ego, maybe attachment. These are the things that are really jumping up and saying, I'm still here. You haven't dealt with me yet. And so let me treat it in that way, that it's come to give me a signal. that now it's time, I have to give attention to this and sort it out. And so I think that's one aspect. The other is the whole question of my own mistakes of the past, where I haven't followed Srimad, and I know that. But today, I truly regret and repent and reform. I have realized, and so now I'm changing, and I'm holding Baba's hand, and really, truly, Baba sees that there's this genuine change within my own consciousness and awareness. And Baba says, okay, child, because you've been honest, because you've realized, now I'll take care of the past and you simply continue to move forward. So I have to, at that moment, accept God's forgiveness and then truly let go. God can forgive and let go. In Hindi, there's a beautiful expression that they use in prayers to God. And they say to God, God, please forgive me and don't allow this mistake to stay in your chit. Meri galti chit par na dharo. Don't allow this mistake of mine to be imprinted in your memory. And so we're asking God to forgive and forget. But then, am I willing to forgive and forget myself? So I've made the mistake and I've realized. Now, if I've realized and I've reformed, full stop. Now time to forgive myself, but also time to let go and forget. So I don't hold on to that memory, because that becomes the obstacle now. And so Baba's willing to forgive, and Baba also doesn't hold anything in his memory. This is why in the days we used to go in front of Abhyakt Baba, many would come with the thought, I wonder what Baba's going to say, I wonder what Baba's going to do. And Baba would just give them a huge amount of love, and they could feel that Baba had forgiven them. And so forgiveness of God is a reality. It's not just a theory, but to feel that, yes, God has forgiven me, and then to be able to erase it from my own memory track so my mind doesn't get pulled to it again and again, because that's also part of the punishment in a sense. If I keep remembering that incident or that situation, my mistake, then I'm punishing myself all the time, because every time I think of it, I feel sorrow, sadness, and I feel very far away from God. But now I've settled it, finished it. So now I don't want to come into my memory and again create a disturbance for me. And so, yes, today I can again take God's love and also God's protection, because I've settled. If that mistake continues today, now that's another problem. That's going to be very difficult, because imagine here's a child who says to the mother, I'm sorry, I've done this. And she says, you're really sorry? And the child says, yes, believe me, I'm sorry. But then half an hour later, a day later, the child goes and makes the same mistake. Then the mother will say next time, are you sure you're really sorry? I don't believe you. So the child has to prove that, yes, I am sorry and I am ready to finish it and I won't repeat that mistake again. Then, of course, the mother's forgiveness is total. And that's even a human mother. So how much more when it's God, the Supreme Mother? So God, the mother, will definitely forgive. But when I stop going down that same track of making mistakes, and I finish that scene.
So the purity of intention is so important, so we can deal with these very deep ingrained sanskars, no? That maybe how many times in Raki we have made the same promise to Baba, and it's still happening, but it gives a lot of hope, you know, that Baba will, even if we have to prove, then he will definitely forgive, because he is our one source. Gentlemen, when we hear in the Yagya that Baba is the protector of the Yagya, is it that he protect? Of course, he's protecting the children, as you have beautifully described. Does he also protect Baba's homes? When we refer to the Yagya as the place where we gather, what is the implication of the protection of the Yagya?
The Yagya is not just a physical place.
Yes.
The Yagya is the whole system that Baba has created. So say, for example, when after Pandit Pavan Gyanasrovar started and people said, but that's not Madhuban, only Pandit Pavan is Madhuban. And Baba used to say to us, Madhuban is both. And then very soon after Gyanasrovar, it was Shantivan. And of course, double foreigners reacted very strongly to having to stay. But it was Baba's place. Baba was coming in Shantivan. So we made the trip down. And we still didn't want to stay in Shantivan. We still preferred to stay up, but we'd come down to meet Baba. But Baba expanded our vision so that Madhuban became all three complexes. And why I'm talking about this is because, of course, I'm remembering that the house in Guyana burnt down first once and then second time also just again this year. And it was quite a shock. But yet the service that was done the first time was incredible. The Prime Minister himself was in India and he spoke at a program in Delhi. And what he said was that I have not seen another organization be able to get together and build their house again within the space of 3 months. Can you hear me?
¿Están escuchando bien?
Yes.
Sorry. Okay. So he mentioned at this program in Delhi that he'd never witnessed such an amazing energy that came about within the Brahma Kumaris, and they rebuilt the house better than before, and it was amazing. And again, this time when the house got burnt, what happened then was that immediately there were offers of help from the Prime Minister, offers of help from the UN officer, the United Nations Information Office that's there. And so it was again like a chance for service. Somebody offered them space for 3 months without any rent. All of these things were going on. So it's not just necessarily a physical place, but it's Baba's work, Baba's task. And so, yes, I hope that nothing happens to Baba's homes, but maybe my vision has to be bigger than that. Mm-hmm. That it's the Yagya is the people, the Yagya is Baba's task, it's everything connected with service in that particular country. So mm-hmm. The protection of the Yagya is God's responsibility, in the sense that service will move forward. Service will never go backwards. Whatever happens, there's a hurricane, there's storms, there's floods, all of these things are going to be increasing. But in India, they had amazing storms last year in South India, and many places were protected in which there were storms everywhere, but nothing coming into Baba's homes. And in some places, yes, water did come into Baba's homes, but again, everybody helped and supported and everything was put right. So I don't think we have to get attached to a physical place as such.
Yeah.
But yes, important that when I sit for Amrit Vela meditation, I'm not just connecting with Baba for myself personally, but like Baba has said, send out Baba's light. Let Baba's Sakash reach out everywhere. And I want to differentiate. I personally feel that it's Baba who's giving Sakash. What I can do is to remember Baba. bring Baba into the picture and let Baba Sakash reach out. But you think I am giving Sakash, I think, is a little bit of a misnomer. I think it's I have to bring in Baba, and then Baba will give Sakash. And I think that wherever it is I'm sitting, whether it's in my personal home or I'm sitting in the center, that Sakash is also protecting that place. And so send out Baba Sakash every single day to the place where you are, to the people you're with, but also beyond. First step, yes, here and now, but beyond that, like the sun radiating light everywhere.
Beautiful. Thanks for clarifying that, because sometimes we hear in a very light way that we say someone is going through something, or let me send them Sakash. And it's very important to know that my job is to remember Baba, and that it is Baba who gives Sakash and makes us unlimited too, no? Jintiben, Baba says that we should develop touching and catching power, which will be very, very, very necessary at the final times or the moments of great need. Can you explain what it means and what is the effort to develop that power? Also, how do we know that we are receiving a touching from Baba, and it's not like my manmat or my parmat?
Let me first of all explain about catching power.
Yeah.
Because Baba uses both of these expressions together. But I think first step is I have to make my container, my intellect, my buddhi, very clean, very pure, which means no waste thoughts or ordinary thoughts, and certainly no negative thoughts or critical thoughts. So that's the effort I need to make. And if I've kept this container very clean and pure, then I can catch all the love that Baba's wanting to give me, the power that Baba's wanting to give me, the light, the might, all the treasures. And so sometimes we say, well, I'm not feeling Baba's love. Well, Baba's sending it, but how come I'm not catching it? Because my intellect has been caught up with mundane things, or too much business, or too much anything with human beings. And so I'm not ready. Baba's giving it, but I can't catch it. And so for me, firstly, that preparation of cleansing is the stage in which then I can actually receive all the treasures that Baba wants me to have, all the virtues, all the powers, everything. And then the next step for me is to be able to receive Baba's touching. And the proof that I'm receiving Baba's touching is that I don't have to say, it's the touching from God, because it could be my ego at that moment. And I never ever heard the Dadi say, this was a touching from Baba. They would take responsibility, ownership. This is the thought, and they present it to others. And then others would then say, yes, and you knew it was not me, it was Baba. And if it's a good thought, it's a powerful thought, but it's not the right time. And so, is it my thought? Is it Baba's thought? Well, it doesn't matter, but it's not the right time. And so there's no agreement from those around me. If it's truly something that Baba wants to happen, the thought comes, I share it. Because if it's little things, I can do what I want. But if it's anything big, I need the cooperation, the support of the whole family. And really, if it's a thought from Baba, then everybody is going to say, yes, let's go with this. It's the right thing to do. So I see that if my intellect is clean, then the touching that I get will be maybe for my protection. The story of Ram Prakash Bhai, of course, you know, everybody knows that story now. But he was able to catch he was able to receive that touching from Baba, and having received it, he was absolutely stable in his faith, no wavering. And then other people wanted to follow, they did, and of course it was absolutely the right thing to do. If he had stayed, or if he'd hesitated or waited, let me check with this one, that one, and the other one, it would have been too late for him and the 20 plus people who followed him. But for me today, I don't know where I'm going to be when there's an earthquake, when there's a cyclone, when there's a storm. I have no idea where I'm going to be. And so, and at that moment, my mobile phone, my cell phone won't help me either. Because when there's either an act of terrorism or a natural disaster, the first thing that goes are the mobile phones. Either the government locks up, you know, interferes with the system, or earthquakes and the towers are not there anymore. So I need to have a very clear, clean link with God that I have to develop now. It's not going to happen suddenly like this. It's only going to happen if now I've developed it and I've nurtured it and I've kept it strong, then yes, Baba will give me the touching, I'll be able to pick it up, and I'll be able to put it through in practical form. So I see that, especially within this whole topic of protection, I need to keep my intellect very, very clean and clear. Then I'm going to catch the touching that Baba wants to give me, and I'll be able to do whatever is needed. And I have to do it then, at that moment. I can't postpone it and say, oh, let me finish this thing and then I'll attend to it. It's not the time for that. It's an emergency. The touching has come. Let me run with it. Let me immediately put it into practice. And I think that you're going to be facing many situations like that. And Baba's never said that he's going to guarantee that this body is going to stay alive. That's not the purpose of Jnana and Yoga anyway. But the protection that Baba's giving, yes, if Baba needs me to stay here, then he'll help me stay here. And if he doesn't need me here, but he wants me to do something else somewhere else, then I have to be ready for that also. But my state has to be one of detachment from this skin of mine, from this body of mine.
Jantaben, you were mentioning Ram Prakash story. That takes us to another question, is how should we help souls who seek protection in us? We are receiving calls right now. People are asking us, you know, I don't know what to do with my life. Someone called me the other day and said, I'm so depressed, I don't know what to do. So what should be, what kind of hope can we create in them? What should be our response?
I think especially in Latin America, where the majority of people believe in God, then what we can talk about is the relationship with God and how they can make that contact directly and experience everything that God is able to give them. They don't need to be afraid. They don't need to feel depressed or hopeless. But God is there for them and is waiting to give them love and power and peace, whatever it is they need. So you can very genuinely put them in touch with Baba very directly. Then, of course, in a place like London, even today, although more people are ready to talk about God than 10 years ago or 5 years ago even, but yet still it would be very difficult to say to a person immediately, think about God, connect with God. So you have to find a different way to do it. And usually we find that if we tell people about their own inner resources and how just staying in silence and studying spiritual things is going to help them generate that energy within themselves, then I think that they're ready to listen to that much, definitely. But more and more people are becoming God conscious, even in places where they used to reject. Now we can talk about God and people will say, yes, I understand. So that's our first and foremost approach of help. Because, you know, if somebody wants money, Baba's funds are coming from donation. And that's for Baba. It's not for distribution to others. And so that becomes sometimes a sticky subject. But in England, there's a law that whatever has been given in donation to a charity cannot be taken back. The charity has no right to give back that money to anyone. So it's actually a law. And so there's going to be situations where we are not able to give people money, but maybe we can give them food if we know that that's really a serious issue for them. Maybe we can give them not just cooked food for a day, but maybe we can even help them more on a regular basis, giving them some groceries. And maybe somebody in the Brahmin family wants to do that as their service. Mm. And yes, if it's somebody who has a supermarket, great. But maybe it's not even anybody like that. Maybe it's just a normal person. But they say, well, I'm buying this much for myself. Let me buy this much for charity. And there are people who are willing to do that. There's a lovely story that I heard just a little while ago. Of course, in India, the poverty is huge, huge. Mm. And yes, the government is trying to do as much as they can. But one woman in a city called Surat, and Surat is highly populated, but it's also the diamond city of India, where they polish all the diamonds and so on and so on. So it's an interesting place. Practically everybody in the city works in diamonds in some form or another, either in the cutting or the processing or the cleaning or actually making up the jewelry or selling the jewelry. Everybody's connected to the diamond trade. So this woman, a housewife, a simple housewife, she thought to herself, well, what can I do to help the poor people? And women in India don't hold the purse strings, but they do have the capacity to cook, and they're quite used to cooking for large numbers. So she said, I'm going to cook 20 extra chapatis today. When I make my own family's meal, I'm going to cook 20 extra chapatis. And she contacted an NGO to see if they knew who would need food or whatever. The NGO was very happy and said to her, what about all your faith? She said, I can do that. And so she set up a whole system of people making 10 extra chapatis, 20 extra chapatis every day. And if you've got 10 friends, you've already got 100 extra chapatis, and you could have fed one or two people. But now with 100 chapatis, you can feed 10 people, maybe 40 people, you know? So it just snowballed, and they self-organized. And so they created places where people could come and pick it up. And the chapatis went off to the NGO that was making food packets for distribution. And the women were so happy, not just this one woman who had that first thought, but everybody she had connected with and inspired. And all they did was make chapatis. So my point is that there's many different ways of helping. And sometimes it's just a very simple thing to say to a person, be with Baba, be with God. Mm. And your faith is reaching them in vibrations. Just remember how the Dadis used to say to us, what's the problem? Just remember Baba. And our face would break into a smile, and whatever was the issue would seem very tiny. And so their faith inspired us to also have deeper faith, stronger faith. And so today, it's not the Dadis anymore. When Baba left, Baba said to the Dadis, the work that I've done for you, what you have taken, now you have to share with others. Now the Dadis have left, and we're left not just with memories, but with that inspiration. What we have taken from the Dadis, we now have to share with others. You know, you said about being busy. Well, I find it very, very difficult to say no, because I'm just so aware that I've taken so much from the Dadis, and so whatever return I can give is really not enough. And so this is why I try not to say no, because if there's an opportunity to serve, well, I've received, I've been the beneficiary. And so in some way or another, we can find a way to help, whether it's Brahmins or whether it's the people out there, so that they also can come a little bit closer to God.
Gentlemen, just one last note before we ask if you can take us into a little meditation under Baba's canopy of protection. But I just want to ask you, like Brahma Baba and the Dadis faced so much, such big, big tests.
Muchas pruebas. Dinos acerca de su fe. ¿Qué fue lo que les hizo sentir tan segura? Y ni siquiera tenían el conocimiento completo al principio. Y en cada paso que daban, tenían mucha fe, estaban llenos de amor. ¿Qué nos puedes decir de eso? También quiero agregar otra cosa a tu pregunta. Ellos tenían mucha fe. Tuvieron que encarar mucho. Lo hicieron sentido que la fe poderosa no ha sido probada aún en términos de enfermedad. No hemos estado ahí. También puede ser una prueba que viene a nosotros para probar la fe que tenemos y hacer que mantenga nuestra estabilidad. Si tengo que encarar algo,
pass that test, and so they'll be gone. They don't have to face that test anymore. But many of us might need to face such a test. And it was really, you know, I don't think you can make someone have faith. I really don't. A simple thing. I used to think that, okay, people don't believe in God, that's a big step. But I used to think that everybody, if you talk to them, they can understand that there is something separate from the body, and that is the soul. But I've had my fingers burnt with that. There are thousands of people, good people, intelligent people, and you can't make them shift from that idea that there is a soul. They won't shift, they just won't shift. And so you have to take them as they are and see their goodness, their qualities. Some of them have good qualities, and say, okay, I just have to give them support and love. I can't challenge them. I don't want to contradict them. I'll just give them Baba's love, and at least they'll stay a friend. And then maybe at some time, they'll come back to faith. But my point is that faith isn't something you can give to another. It's either there or it's not. And yes, once it is there, you can nurture it and make sure that it never breaks and so on. And so when the Dadis came, whether it was just seeing Baba, like Dadi Jankis, she saw Baba walking towards her, and from this very elegant gentleman who was a jeweler and who was a talk of the town, now she was seeing light. She just saw that light. And she said to her father, did you see that? And he said, what do you mean? So he hadn't seen anything, but she had seen light. And that gave her such courage, such power, that she was able to overcome all her obstacles and belong to Baba. All the others also, again, their faith was something that was inbuilt. They came to Baba, something triggered that faith, and it was there. And so today I belong to Baba. Now, can I nurture that faith and really make it so strong that no matter what happens, I'll say to Baba, I know you're with me, and my last thoughts have to be in your remembrance so that you take me to my destination. And so faith that is so powerful that even in adversity, I'm able to say, I know you're with me and you'll carry me to my destination. So that's something that everyone who is a BK can nurture within themselves. I know for some people, lockdown has been a very busy time. And it's true. Like today, I was at the solar site, India One, in Shantivan. And I said to them, it's a group of about 35 residents who are there. And until now, it was lockdown. They couldn't come, we couldn't go. But now, things are a little bit different. Not so much travel, but a little bit is possible. And so we went there today to meet them all. And I said to them, what's your experience of lockdown? And they laughed and said, we're 3 times more busy. Why? Because we used to have the extra staff that used to come to help with the cleaning. Now that's stopped. They can't come in. Secondly, we had the Sevadharis who were here from different places. Well, they had to go back to their families. So that means we're doing 3 times the work that we used to. So for some, it's been very busy, and you can understand why. But for some, and this is all over the world, there has been some extra time for tapasya. There has been some extra time for reflection and spiritual study. So if that's been your case, fantastic. Just strengthen that and make that very, very powerful so that you're able to share whatever it is you've taken from Baba with others around you to help them become fearless and so on. So faith is very important. And yes, the Dadis have been an amazing example for all of us. And so today, let me have that same faith that's absolutely powerful and unshakable.
Wow, that has been a very, very rich and nourishing sharing, Jenti Ben, and I hope everybody has taken a lot of benefit. I think it's covered most of our questions and needs. So maybe Yolanda.
Yeah, there are some questions in the chat. Okay. And maybe one of them we can still.
Okay.
When there are strong sanskars, when we make mistakes and they come from strong sanskars, how can we really change that? This is one of the questions.
Okay. The way to change deep, strong sanskars is 3 things, my own determination. I really want to clean this out. And so I need that passionate feeling. I really want to clean this out. I don't want it anymore. And then secondly, yoga, to be able to have such powerful yoga with God that it truly is the fire that's able to burn away the sin and burn away that sanskar. And thirdly, lots and lots of good karma. Let me do a lot of good karma so that I'm also adding to the power of goodness within the self. And these 3 ways will change the old sanskars.
Thank you, Jenti Ben.
Thank you so much. Wow. Gosh, this is so unlimited. So Jenti Ben, maybe just to finalize, if you can take us into some powerful meditation of being under the canopy of Baba's protection. We won't play music because it distorts. So maybe just without music.
Sure. Okay. I come to the awareness of the soul. And in this awareness of my own eternal form. I, the being of light, shine. And I connect with Baba, the Supreme. And as soon as I connect with Baba, Baba's light, Baba's love reaches me. And I feel the love healing the soul, so that things of the past are washed away. And the soul is left strong and filled with love. And now I feel the power of purity reaching me from Baba. And the purity is so strong that it's not only transforming the soul and my innermost sanskaras. The purity is a cloak that wraps itself around me. So I'm totally protected, totally safe, and filled with this protection. And the light of love and the light of purity is not only for me. It reaches out and touches the whole human family. And extends out further to the whole of creation, all forms of life, and reaches all the elements, all the factors of nature that work together to have created this beautiful planet. I keep the love with myself so that I always feel protected. I keep the purity with myself. Holding this cloak of purity, I come back into the physical dimension, but now with Baba's protection. Om Shanti.
Om Shanti. Thank you so much, Sister Jenti. We are 233 from the Latino family listening to you, and I'm sure we can all show a hand of gratitude.